Hello and a warm welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. It's Jack Reeve alongside Racing Post sport journalists Dan Childs and James Mason this week as we look at all things Euro 2020. We'll be getting the panel's thoughts on individual games later on in the show, but I thought it'd be worth taking a look back at what we've already seen so far in this tournament. Dan, I don't know about you, but I've managed to sort of catch every one of the games and I've absolutely loved it so far.
Yeah, it's been a very enjoyable tournament. Games, you know, most teams seem to be, you know, trying to win the games and it's competitive as well. I mean, there are worries, you know, when 5 years ago it was up to 24 teams that there would be a lot of sort of one-sided, you know, boring games, but it's not been the case. You know, most games have been know tight, but both teams are trying to win them.
I don't know about you, we were saying off air, Dan, that the teams discussed pre-tournament, the dark horses, I suppose, the Turkeys, the Denmarks, the Ukraines of the world, haven't really shown up, but the teams at the top of the market have justified their prices.
Absolutely. I still think there's room for a dark horse, though. I mean, two of the three that you've mentioned there, I mean, I think Denmark could still come again, you know, depending on how they respond to the Ericsson situation. Ukraine have lost to, obviously, the group favourites, Holland, narrowly in Amsterdam, so they've still got a good chance to bounce back. And another dark horse, I think, could be Wales. You know, there's a potential halfway to them where they might actually, you know, get through the semi-finals and not have to play anyone stronger than say the Netherlands in the knockouts before the semi. So there's a, you know, it could be a route through for them.
Yeah, certainly a strong start for the Wales. James, how have you made of the tournament so far? I mean, of course, the Christian Eriksen situation was a really tough watch, actually. I was cut up watching that, but thankfully the days after that incident, it seems like he's made a really speedy recovery.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic news to hear, obviously, that he's come out of it on the right side. It was, like you said, it was a tough watch for everyone who was involved in that game, and then still sort of question marks, I think, over the decision to play the second half. Or it was 4 minutes, wasn't it, of the first, and then the second half. I think they looked at it again. They've said that they probably wouldn't have done that. They would have tried to squeeze it in somewhere else. But it is still fantastic to see that Eriksen is coming out on the right side. But in terms of the tournament in general is outright, I think it's been fantastic. Really, like we said, there's been some really entertaining games. You can often get games where it's just a little bit nitty gritty, and especially the opening group matches where teams are sort of filling each other out. They can maybe play a bit of a reserve starting 11 and they're just trying not to get beat. But, you know, teams have come out trying to win the games, and there's been some impressive performers. Belgium, Italy in there as well. I think Austria, I know they played North Macedonia, but they look quite good. It'd be interesting to see how they go up against the better side in the Netherlands. But I think there's some really interesting games to come in this tournament. And it'll be, I mean, I think we'll probably see a bit of a shock at some point. I think we'll see one of the big boys potentially struggling to get through into the knockout stages.
Dan, I think the reason we all sound relatively jolly is I've seen your tips in the Racing Post. I know James has had a few good starts with his bets. Not only have we been landing some winners, but England got off to the dream start against Croatia, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, it was a decent result for England. Obviously, Croatia, you know, before the start of the tournament, you would have said that was the toughest game for England in the group. I think with England, a lot of the time, if they win a game, everybody goes overboard and says that we're absolutely fantastic. And if we don't win a game, that everything's terrible. I think there's a little bit of that in the reaction. I thought it was an okay performance against a Croatia team that have been in decline since that 2018 World Cup. You know, and the conditions weren't easy. It was a hot day. You're up against a strong midfield. England coped with that quite well and got the win. You think, you know, they are going to have to grow into the tournament, which I'm sure they will, and they're going to have to do that because, you know, the round of 16, there's a clash looming against, you know, possibly a France or Portugal, where they are going to have to be at the best to come through it.
Yeah, a quick mention on France, James. It was a lot of people sort of underestimating that game. A few moans that it was a bit dull. I loved France versus Germany, a real tactical battle. And to be honest, I think France were unlucky to only score the one in that one.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think France were by far the better side against the Germany team. I expected better from them, to be honest. Obviously, it's the final tournament, isn't it, for Jogi Löw, the Germany boss. And I thought that would have sort of brought the squad together a bit more and they'd be, you know, fighting right from the off. But it wasn't the greatest performance from them. But yeah, for France, I mean, they were coming into the tournament and, you know, they were joint favourites, weren't they? But I think the fact that they haven't scored that many in that game, just the one, is fine for me, because it was more their solidity at the back, which I think sometimes can come into a little bit of question for me, because I don't think that's their strongest area. Of course, it's going forward with the likes of Mbappe and Griezmann. But I think the fact they kept a clean sheet and they reduced Germany to very few shots in the game, I think that they did very, very well.
Yeah, Dan, we'll ask this question to both of you. We've obviously seen each of the teams in the competition now once or more. Who's been the standout for you?
Well, France and Italy have been, performance-wise, I think, have been excellent. I think that French performance against Germany didn't really get the credit that it deserved. I mean, for a couple of tight offside calls, I mean, you could be walking away there, France, with a 3-0 win, and everybody's raving about them. Italy, I mean, they've not had, their games haven't been as difficult, but the manner of their victories over Turkey and Switzerland have been absolutely superb. The way they play, they're pressing oppositions really strongly, passing the ball really quickly, moving the ball well. They look a strong team. Another one I'll just flag up would be Portugal. I thought they, although the goals came late against Hungary, that was a tough atmosphere to deal with there, it looked like to me. I mean, you know, incredible amount of noise made by that, you know, large crowd, Hungarian crowd there. And I thought Portugal, to come through that with a 3-0 win and finish it as strongly as they did, they're going to be a tough side to beat as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Well worth looking on racingpost.com/sport. Lots of insight and analysis over there each and every day. And I know that both of our panellists today have already tipped up some winners so far this tournament. James, I know you were very keen on Italy pre-tournament, so I suspect you'll be very happy with their start. And maybe another team that you've been impressed with.
Yeah, I think Italy, very, very good. Of course, you know, you get maximum points. They're already into the knockout stage of the competition. So there's that little bit of pressure has just eased off Roberto Mancini's men. And, you know, back-to-back 3-0s, it's all very, very good. The only slight issue I would have for Italy is the fact that Giorgio Chiellini went off injured in that last game, the 3-0 over Switzerland. So I think his fitness for the rest of the tournament is absolutely key for them. I mean, they've got good replacements to come on. But I think Chiellini, you know, he's the leader of that team. I also agree, I think Portugal were very, very good against the Hungary side, who obviously they're the team in that group, aren't they, that everyone thinks are going to finish bottom, and they probably will, but I still think they've got a chance maybe to nick third. But Portugal, they could have wrapped that game up well before they got those three late goals. Diogo Jota didn't have his greatest game in the final third. I think he could have squared one to Ronaldo at one point and he was clean through on goal in the box, and then he missed a couple of chances himself. So that scoreline could have been around 4-5 if they really wanted to, if they were fully on their game. But you know, the fact Ronaldo was open with two goals as well, I think the omens are very, very good for Portugal. So Italy and Portugal are probably the two for me that have impressed. Spain is a slight one as well. I know they didn't score against Sweden. It was that 0-0 draw. But the amount of possession they had and the amount of chances they created, I don't think it will take much for Spain just to click into gear. If they can get that first goal, then I think they could be quite dangerous.
Yeah, strong starts for many of the top sides. Let's jump into the fixtures then, and let's start with the big one, England versus Scotland, 8 p.m. on Friday the 18th of June, live on ITV. The betting looks something like this: England 3-10, the draw 9-2, Scotland 9-1. Dan, a big game for both sides here. Which way do you see it going?
Big game for both teams. I don't think there'll be lots of goals, but I think the goals that do come will come for England. So I'm going to go for England to win 2-0, a shade of odds on. I just think outgunned here is what the Scots are going to be. Well, you look at England's competition for places for England's front three, and you've got Harry Kane, Calvert-Lewin, Foden, Grealish, Sterling, Rashford, Sancho. Now, any of them seven players would walk into the Scotland team. I mean, the disparity in quality and attacking areas is just huge. Now, what Scotland have got, they've got some good midfield players where they can compete in there with the likes of McGinn, McTominay, Armstrong, quite right. That's right, and maybe even Gilmore will come in and play a role as well. I've been impressed with a few times for Chelsea this season, but I think that will allow them to compete in the middle of the park. But at some stage, England are going to get chances, and with that attacking quality they've got, just think they'll have a little bit too much. The issue for England is how they kind of develop it going forward. I mean, the Rice and Phillips partnership offers, you know, good protection for the back four. Looks good, but you just think, is the balance right going forward? You know, when the further into the tournament, maybe England might need to go a little bit more positive. But for now, I think they're by far the strongest team in Group D.
James, I did feel slightly sorry for Scotland against the Czech Republic. I mean, the performance wasn't great. They did create chances, though. I think if a couple of their players would have had their shooting boots on, they could have scored a few on that day. But the goals from Czech Republic were just astonishing. The header, because of the other goal that he scored, didn't get much credit. But it was a stunning header.
It was a stunning header. I mean, Patrick Schick is... I mean, he's well known actually in world football, isn't he? From what he's doing for his club, and the fact that, you know, he's leading the line for the Czech Republic. It was, you know, two incredible finishes. The second one, although it was absolutely sensational with the strike, I still wonder where on earth Marshall was going. Yeah. Why he was midway through his own half? I've got absolutely no idea. I know it was a little bit unlucky with the shot that Hendry had, and then it broke straight into the path of Sheik. But I mean, Marshall's just in no man's land. I mean, I looked at that Scotland side, I looked at the starting 11 they had, and if I was a Scotland fan, I would have felt a bit sort of meh going into it, in terms of like Lyndon Dykes up from, why on earth Che Adams wasn't starting, I don't know. It was all just a little bit reserved, I think, for me, from Steve Clarke. I thought that he would have gone for a little bit more, a bit more attacking, a bit more creative. There wasn't a great deal of pace, especially on that right-hand side with Stephen O'Donnell playing as that right wing-back. I thought he may have started with someone like a Fraser in there or a Forrest. It seemed a little bit reserved for me. It was as if Clarke was going into that game saying, right, this is our first game back at a major tournament since, what, 98. Let's make sure that we don't lose this game. Let's try and get a point. Let's get off to a positive start. But they end up losing it, and now they're on the back foot, aren't they? Because they've got to really get something against England. Otherwise, if they lose that, they're pretty much out of the tournament. So I think, you know, it's going to be difficult for them going into the England game. There's always the worry, isn't it, though, from an English perspective, that, you know, you're coming up against the Scots, they'll be doing all they can, won't they? They want to get one over on the three lines. So I feel the result will probably go England's way, but I've actually moved away from that in terms of the angle I'm going for the bets. I've actually looked at bookings because it's always tasty, I think, between these two teams. And for me, I've mentioned Stephen O'Donnell there. If he gets the nod again at right wing back, the amount of pace that he's going to have coming at him, you know, he got potentially a Sterling, a Rashford, a Sancho, all these players that are going in, the ball's over the top. I think it could be a real tough game for O'Donnell. So around 4-1, he has to get booked in the game, which I think is quite good to go for. The other one for me is Tyrone Mings for England at 5-1. I'm still not convinced about Tyrone Mings if he does play the game again. Harry Maguire has come out and said, I'm fit, I'm ready to play. Whether Southgate puts him straight back in, we'll have to wait and see. But Mings, for me, just seems to lose concentration through games. He did okay in that opener, but England weren't really tested against what was, like we said before, a Croatia side that are on the down, really, from that 2018 World Cup. So Mings to get booked and O'Donnell to get booked, I think, are quite good bets to go for.
Yeah, nice angles with the booking markets there. Let's take a move over to Group F now. And this looks an absolutely brilliant game. Portugal against Germany on Saturday, the 19th of June, 5 o'clock kickoff on ITV. Portugal 23-10, the draw 23-10. And Germany 5-4. Dan, Portugal, we've spoken about them. We've spoken about Germany. The odds look close in this match. How do you see this one going?
I fancy Portugal to win it. Sometimes you look at the betting and you think, how on earth are they making that team favourites? And I know Germany got home advantage, but it is only like 25% capacity in Munich. And you just sense that against France, that you know, the atmosphere wasn't enough to really get them going. I mean, they get against France, they're all up against a very good team. Players they seem to enjoy the defensive aspect, France. People like Griezmann were working their socks off, Pogba as well. But I think they're going to be up against a similar type of team in Portugal. They've got, you know, a well-organised side. They protect their football well. You've got Ruben Dias at the heart of that defence. You know, they're a tough side, Portugal, like France, to score against. And Germany, for me, they just looked a little bit clueless against France. Went with that back three, relied a lot on the wing backs, Kimmich and Gosens, to send balls into the box. But it all looked a bit aimless to me. They weren't really getting in behind. Serge Gnabry playing as almost like a you know, false nine, that didn't seem to work for me. You know, Timo Werner and Sane come on, didn't really make a bit, you know, much of a difference. So for me, you know, the main match winners are for Portugal. I mean, Diogo Jota, I think, you know, has got room to improve after that first game. Ronaldo's off and running with two goals. Bruno Fernandes can always get you a goal or provide a defence splitting pass. They've got the aces in the pack for me, Portugal. And I just think that the bet there, I mean, if you want to, you know, it's going to be a tight game. Take the draw out of the equation and go Portugal, draw no bet, odds against. Fantastic bet for me.
I suppose the only concern for Portugal, James, would be the defence. Am I right in saying that?
I mean, I looked at that, actually. I thought Portugal, if anywhere, is going to be a bit of a worry. But the fact Ruben Dias is in there, you know, the City defender, he's an absolute rock. And I think he just adds quite a bit of strength. And, you know, I like Rafael Guerreiro down that left-hand side. Semedo, obviously, we've seen him for Wolves in the Premier League, look quite solid. I mean, looking at the Portugal squad, it's arguably probably in the top three squads maybe in the tournament for me when you look at the other players they've got in there, like Bernardo Silva, Bruno Fernandes, Gian Martino, Ruben Neves, and then obviously Ronaldo. He got the likes of sort of Andre Silva, Diogo Jota. It's a fantastic squad that they have to pick for. And I have to say, I'm in agreement. I think that Portugal are probably going to get the win in this one. I think they're a great price, really, when you look at it. Mentioned there with the home advantage in quotation marks that Germany have got, but it didn't work against France, did it? They were beaten at the Allianz Arena. I think it's probably going to be another defeat for them as well. There just seems to be something about Germany. You know, it's the end of the road for Jogi Löw, isn't it? And he tried at one stage to kick all of sort of the more experienced players out, didn't he? And bring in the younger ones and start maybe a new sort of generation. And then he backtracked on that because he brought the more experienced players back in for this tournament. It's a little bit of a mix. You know, you got your Thomas Müller in there, your Toni Kroos. But I just think Germany at the moment, something isn't clicking for them. And I think they will find it very difficult to get any change out of Portugal in this one.
Yeah, it was that front line with Germany that disappointed me against France. They never really looked like they were going to find the back of the net. That's going to be an absolute cracker on Saturday. And there's another brilliant game to look forward to on Sunday between Italy and Wales. Italy, the favourites, twos on. The draw, 3-1. Wales, 7-1 with certain firms. Once again, Dan, we've spoken at length about Italy. You mentioned Wales being a potential dark horse for the tournament. They've certainly started well. It'd be a serious upset if they could get something here.
It would. I'm not sure they will get anything. I feel it might even be a bit of a damage limitation exercise here for Wales. I mean, the group situation is very interesting because Wales, I mean, they haven't technically qualified yet, but you'd be hard pressed to find, you know, a team that, you know, gets 4 points and fails to go through in some capacity. I think what they're going to be looking at Wales is trying to at least get through in second place, you know, rather than getting bumped down to third, because it's a big, big difference, in terms of who you play. If you finish second, you get to play the second place team in Group B, which, you know, you're looking at probably maybe a Finland, a Russia, or a Denmark. If you finish third, you get to play one of the group winners. So for Wales, they've got at the moment they've got a 3-point advantage over Switzerland. They've also got a five goals goal difference advantage. So they're going to be thinking low scoring loss. To Italy could well be enough to kind of nail down that second place and get a nice little route through there, you know, potentially in the knockouts. Italy, I mean, they're just going to be looking at keeping the momentum going, I think, and, you know, and rounding off, you know, their superb performances in the group. They may make a few changes. I mean, Chiellini's obviously picked up his injury. Maybe they could rest Bonucci as well, because they want, you know, him to risk the other, you know, key plank of that centre of defence. So there'll be a few changes. Wales have got three players on a booking as well. You've got Kiefer Moore, Ben Davies on a booking, Meppham's on a booking. So Rob Page did mention straight after the 2-0 went over Turkey that he would have to look at, you know, how the players' fitness was, and sort of he was suggesting that changes could be made. If both teams make changes, you look at the squads, so much more depth in that Italy squad than there is in the Wales squad. So that kind of feeds into fancy in Italy. Italy are very short to win the game, around 1-2. You can get Italy to win a relatively low scoring game. I mentioned Wales. Italy and under 3.5 goals is just a shade of odds on.
James, has the mindset changed slightly in these kind of final group games for sides when teams either know they're definitely out or that they're definitely through? it's going to be the case with these two sides here.
It is. I think it could change for a team that are definitely out. But for Italy, there is still something to play for in terms of top spot. If Wales did get the victory over them, then Wales would be top in Group A. It's unlikely, but there is still that little thing that Italy have to make sure they do. And the fact is as well, you know, they've made such the perfect start, back-to-back 3-0 wins. They will want to keep that word momentum going through the tournament. You know, they're probably already thinking about the knockout phase, but there's still plenty more in terms of there'll be Italian players thinking about the golden boot, won't they? I think Mancini will want to try and keep the core of the team still in there. So I don't think it'll be many changes, but I think there'll be little tweaks here and there. And we mentioned before there, Dan did, about Wales. If there are changes to be made, Wales' squad for me is nowhere near as strong as Italy's. I'm very, very surprised by Wales, actually. I actually thought they would finish bottom of this group. So that was probably not a good shout from me. But, you know, they've impressed me. I think their defending in their last game against Turkey was very, very good. I would kind of think, though, when they come up against a high-level opposition like this Italian side, they will struggle because Turkey haven't really shown up in the tournament. And there wasn't much guile or creativity from Turkey in that match. It was all just sort of get it down the flanks and try and whip a ball in to Burak Yilmaz, who was in there. And it was just good, solid defending from Wales with their three centre-backs and the wing-back. So I think coming up against an Italy team who have got absolute talent throughout it, I think they will struggle. I think Italy, you could probably look at a 1-0 or 2-0 if you wanted to go for a correct score. But I think Italy to win to nil at around evens is probably good for me. Their record is absolutely incredible. What is it? 965 minutes without conceding a goal is incredible under Roberto Mancini. What he's done to this Italian team since he took charge after they didn't qualify for that 2018 World Cup has been nothing short of incredible for me. And beaten in 29 games, I think they will be very hard to beat, not just against Wales, but in the tournament.
He's certainly the most suave man on the touchline as well, isn't he? Yeah, absolutely glorious suits. No, the Italians look strong, but never write the Welsh off. Let's move on to next Tuesday then, back to Group D, where Croatia plays Scotland and the Czech Republic play England. Let's start with Croatia-Scotland, Dan. And look, we've mentioned Scotland. There's clearly weaknesses there. But Croatia, considering the strength that they had in the World Cup in 2018, it's an ageing side, maybe coming down from that peak. Is there a small chance for Scotland here? The betting, even money, Croatia, 12-5 the draw, 3-1 about Scotland.
Yeah, I'm actually going to take a chance on Scotland here. I mean, with the format of this competition, the fourth, third place teams go through, it's not unheard of, actually, for a team to kind of take 3 points, win one game and get through to the round of 16. So there probably will be, going into the game, there's likely to be a mathematical chance for Scotland to go through. And you've got a home game. I mean, they've waited a long time, you know, to be playing at a major tournament. And I think, that, you know, they will be up for it. Crowd will be in there, will be behind them. The Czech game, when they lost the game 2-0, I actually thought watching the game that, until the first goal went in, they were playing at quite a good tempo, Scotland, and looked to me, maybe the most likely to take the lead. And then even in the second half, after Che Adams came on, it did give them a little bit more, you know, of a threat going forward. So I do think I think the shot count at the end of the game was 19-10 in Scotland's favour. So, I mean, sometimes that can be deceiving, but I think there were a few little positives in there if you look hard before them. And Croatia didn't really the lights out, did they, with their performance against England, created very, very little. I know England are one of the stronger teams at the tournament, but they just looked toothless to me, Croatia in attack. Have they got, much more Croatia in attack than Scotland? I mean, the Croatia strength is in midfield, but we've mentioned earlier that Scotland's midfield is actually quite strong as well. I'm not sure, necessarily there is a massive gap between the teams and Scotland, with that home advantage, I just think, they're playing a team, Croatia, that lost 1-0 to Slovenia in a World Cup qualifier in March. You know, why shouldn't Scotland, have a chance at the prices to go and win this one?
Yeah, I mean, it's a juicy price about Scotland, James. Are you in agreement with Dan?
It's quite hard to look at this game, actually. Obviously, a lot of it depends on what happens early, doesn't it, in the second group games, but there could be a lot riding on it. Croatia, yes, they haven't been fantastic, have they? But when I look at their sort of their star players, they are bigger star players than Scotland have got in terms of Luka Modric. I know he's getting on, isn't he, at 35, but he could still pull the strings. I think that's a player that Scotland have got to try and nail down in the game. They've got to have someone that's on him straight away and stop him from getting the ball and have that time and space. But there's others in there, you know, Kovacic, I think, is good in that midfield. And, you know, Andre Kramaric up there, the Hoffenheim striker, I think, is good in the air. And I think he could maybe cause some problems. But Scotland, for me, it's all about, I alluded to it earlier, it's about the team selection from Steve Clarke. And it's being a bit more bold, I think. And again, it's starting with the Chathams. It's, you know, it's giving the crowd something when they look at that starting 11, we look at the team sheet and say, oh, we're really going for this. We've got pace either side. We've got some creative players in there. I think John McGinn, if he can get himself forward a bit more, get involved in the play. You know, like we said in that first game, it was the shot count. They were miles up on it, weren't they, against the Czech Republic? But they couldn't take their chances. And they said it afterwards, the manager, the players, it's all about being clinical in that final third. You've got to take your chances when they come your way. And they didn't. I do think it will be an attacking game, depending on what both teams have got left to play for in the tournament. So I think goals is probably the way to go for it. I know Scotland, they didn't take their chance in that first match, but I think if you start with Chathams at there, I think you've got a great chance of finding the back of the net. But I also think Scotland, for me, defence is their weakest part. So I think Croatia still have that little bit about them, that threat, where they could get on the goal sheet. So I think a both teams to score and over 2.5 goals is probably the way I would go.
Yeah, Scotland didn't take their chances, but they certainly created a lot in that first game, didn't they? Let's talk about Czech Republic, England very briefly then, because I know we've spoke about both of these sides. It's also at 8 o'clock on Tuesday, once again on ITV. Dan, is England a short here? So it's maybe difficult to find value in that market. Czech Republic 7-1, the draw 10-3, England 9-20. Which way are you playing this?
I think England will actually, they deserve to be short actually. I'm going to go for England minus one on the handicap at 13-10. I think it's a decent bet. I just think, I look at England, I think they're going to get stronger as the tournament goes on, and I just get the feeling that this could be the game after you've had the tension of the early game in the hot conditions, and then you've played almost like your derby match against Scotland, where you in that sort of game maybe you're not going to play at your best in the third game. I just think it's going to be the time when the that tension, you know, is released a bit and you cut loose, and I think the changes might even help as well. I mean, this time he's probably going to look to use your squad a bit more. And there's going to be some really good players, eager to try and press their claims to be involved in the knockout stages, like Sir Calvert-Lewin, Jack Grealish, Marcus Rashford, Jadon Sancho. And, you know, they're all going to have a real point to prove. I mean, the Czechs, you know, a lot depends on how they get on in their game with Croatia. I mean, they could be safely through as well if they've had a good result there. And if they kind of make some changes, their squad is nowhere near as deep as England's squad. I just think England going to play a little bit more with a handbrake off in this game, and that strength in depth is going to see them through to win.
I mean, that's the thing with England, isn't it, James? The depth. I mean, the fact that Grealish didn't even get on the pitch in the first game shows just how much talent we have going forwards.
Yeah, there's a plethora, isn't there, for Gareth Southgate to choose from. I still think in that first game for England, though, there was large parts of that match where it was screaming out for a Grealish for me, is someone just to drop into those little bits of space, pick up the ball and drive forward. And I think at times England did miss that going throughout the 90 minutes there. So depending on what changes he makes, like I said, it all depends on the state of the group, where England are, where the Czech Republic are. But if he does make changes, I do quite like dipping into the anytime goal scorer market, because I think if Calvert-Lewin could potentially get a chance, you know, give Kane a little bit of a rest. I think Calvert-Lewin, we've seen in the Premier League that, you know, he's good with the ball at his feet, but in the air, he's very, very good as well. And, you know, England like to whip the ball in at times and get that aerial advantage. Bukayo Saka as well, I quite like him. If he gets a little opportunity to get him down that left-hand side and get him behind, I think he's got quite a good chance to maybe get on the score sheet as well. So it all depends, I think, on what team selection Southgate goes for, what the state of the group is. But if he does make changes and he gives some of his squad players a go, I think any time goal scorer is probably a good way to go.
Absolutely. One final game we'll preview before any other fancies from the panel. And I feel like every game in Group F is an absolute cracker. And this one certainly is. On Wednesday, the 23rd of June, Portugal face France. Dan, both teams with a strong start. This is a cracker.
Yeah, cracking game. I'm going to just narrowly side with France, who are the marginal favourites. Sometimes I worry about looking and trying to preview a game that's two games in advance. But in this case, I think that both of the teams are going to put out close to their strongest teams. I mean, they're either going to, depending on the results in the second games, they could still have to get some points to seal qualification, but if they are already through, they're still going to be first place to play for. And in this group, first place is absolutely massive, because if you win the group, you get to play a third place team for one of the other groups. If you finish second, then you're more than likely going to have to play England. So you can't really see either team in them circumstances, either manager resting a lot of key players. I'm impressed with both teams, so far. I think France, I mentioned earlier, I just think they've got so many match-winning players. But what caught my eye against Germany was how motivated they all are, not just to attack, but to defend as well. I thought Paul Pogba, looks far more, motivated than he does, most of the time in a Manchester United shirt. Antoine Griezmann was working his socks off. So was Benzema, and Mbappe was a constant threat. And I just think they've got a little bit more in the locker, and a little bit tougher to play against, slightly tougher to play against than Portugal, with Kante in there just covering every blade of grass. So I just narrowly edged towards France.
Yeah, that's the thing that impressed me with France. And I saw your colleague, Liam Flynn, tweet it. It was the discipline about France that really impressed me. If you push aside the match-winning quality, as you said, Dan, in Benzema and Pogba and Griezmann, players who can change games, Mbappe, who really unfortunately had that goal disallowed, because it was an absolute cracking finish. It was just a defensive discipline, and Germany had so much power in that first game, but they just didn't get a sniff against France. And of course, Kante has been exceptional as well. Just a quick read of the match prices here. Portugal at 23-10, 11-5 the draw. France the favourites at 13-10. James, which way do you see this one going?
Yeah, I'm probably just siding towards France going into this one, but I think both teams will get on the score sheet. So a result and both teams to score France at around 9-2, I think is quite a juicy price to go for. Obviously, we mentioned France there with a strong start they've had. They kept the clean sheet, and they've got so much quality going forward. And we said it could have been more than the 1-0. It could have been 2-3-0. They could have absolutely put a convincing rubber stamp on that. Portugal, though, they've scored the three goals. Ronaldo's got off to a really good start, and they have that threat. They've got so many players in there. We mentioned before the Bruno Fernandes, the Bernardo Silvas, the Jotas. I think they'll be itching to try and do something against this France side, who are showing that they came into the tournament joint favourites. Why they are that, and they're looking very, very impressive indeed. I just think France have, like we said, probably got more match winners. You mentioned Pogba there in that first game against Germany, and everyone's going, Paul Pogba, why doesn't he do this for Manchester United? Well, he doesn't have an N'Golo Kante next to him, absolutely wiping the floor with every attack that's coming towards him. He covers every blade of grass. And the fact that he knows Kante's there allows Pogba to play in a little bit more of a free role. He can get forward more. He's not having to worry about what's going the other way. So I just think France at the minute look quite well balanced, and they will probably just have the edge on Portugal. But France to win and both teams to score, I think, is probably the way.
Balance, that's the key word about France. Absolutely, they were stunning in that first game. I've said that so many times this podcast. I'll stop now. Right, any other fixtures that we like the look of a certain angle or any other bets that you've got on, Dan?
Just my nap really. But that's one of the games that we've already covered. I mean, looking forward, I think that I'm not so sure about the Dutch. We've not really mentioned them in this show at the moment. I just thought defensively in that game against the Ukraine, that will worry me, the amount of chances they gave up. So they will be a team, maybe that I would look to oppose going through the tournament. Seems to be missing De Ligt, who was out injured for the first game.
Okay, and James, any other fancies?
Yeah, just one match actually that I picked out, and it's Sweden against Poland. So it's the last group game for these in Group E. The fact is Poland could pretty much be out of the tournament by them, because they have Spain in their second match and expect Spain to get the win. And I covered that game when Poland lost to Slovakia in the opening match, and they were poor. They were really, really poor. I know they had the red card in the second half, and that gave Slovakia the advantage, but they just, again, rely so much on Robert Lewandowski. He was dropping back to the halfway line at times in that game to try and get involved in the play and get things going. And at the end of the match, it was, Jozwiak, the right wing back or the sort of the right forward, played really, really well, the man of the match. But, you know, he barely gets a start for Derby County in the Championship last season. So they're relying on players that don't, for me, really have that quality. The fact that Arkadiusz Milik as well is not playing for Poland, he got injured before the tournament started. I just think Poland do not look good at all. They don't look to have settled under Paulo Sousa either, who is only, I think that was his fifth game in charge of Poland. A strange decision, I think, was to bring him in after Poland had qualified for the Euros. And for me, I think Sweden have probably got enough grit and determination about them to go and get a narrow win.
Yeah, there was obvious hope, wasn't there, surrounding Lewandowski getting goals, but he hardly got a touch in that game. Right, let's move on to the Naps.
This will not be beaten.
What's the strongest bet from each of our panellists this week? Dan, we'll start with you.
A Portugal draw, no bet against Germany. I thought at the start of the tournament, actually, that Germany were the weak links of those big three in Group F, changing their system to, you know, back three, you know, two games before the tournament didn't really, give you a great deal of confidence in their chances. Nothing's changed my mind about Germany's status in the group. Portugal, you know, I thought would be strong. They were strong against Hungary. I think they'll pick up another win here.
And James?
Yeah, I've gone for Italy to win 2-0 against Wales. Again, you know, it's I've said before that Italy, for me, were my pre-tournament picks. And, you know, back-to-back 3-0 wins, they look so, so strong. They've only allowed one shot on target during their first two games of the tournament. And it's not really a surprise, this form, when you look at what they did coming into the tournament. The fact they're unbeaten in 29 games, looking very, very strong under Mancini. They're good at the back. They've got a solid midfield. And up front, they've got Ciro Immobile. So Italy to win 2-0.
So it's Portugal draw no bet against Germany and Italy 2-0 against Wales. They're the Naps from Dan and James this week. That's it for the postcast for this week. We'll be back again next week for another edition. I hope you've enjoyed Euro 2020 so far and continue to enjoy and have some fun with your betting. But as always, please do remember to do so within your means. Thanks to Dan and James this week. We'll see you again next week. Have a good one. Bye-bye.